for the battle of the season.
Welcome back to another episode of We Are Challenged, where Liz and I discuss everything about the MTV show Battle of the Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Liz is a little bit sick, and I have a little bit of a cold, too, so hopefully we don't annoy you with our coughs and froggy voices.
I'll try to keep it in, but I am broadcasting from bed right now, which shows my dedication to this show and to Battle of the Seasons. So, Matt, how did you feel about this episode? As we do always, what's your rating out of 10?
I'm going to give it a solid 6.5. Yeah. How about you?
I think I could. I'm going to go a tiny bit lower and go 6. And I think for me the reason is that not a lot happened. It was kind of one plot line throughout the whole thing. And I actually, maybe I'll go up to 6.5. I'll veer between the two because I really liked the last challenge.
Yeah, that's what kind of pushed it over the top for me was the last challenge. I was, throughout the whole episode, I was kind of bored. And then the last challenge was really good, I thought. And actually, even both challenges were pretty good. Like the, but the in-between challenge stuff was not as good this week, I found.
Yes, yeah, not a lot. It was a lot about Trishelle. And I think a testament to what I said before about there being too many teams, there were some people that I didn't see one time in this episode.
Again, yes.
Like Trishelle, I didn't see one, or not Trishelle, sorry, I'm crazy. I'm Jean A.
Yeah.
He, like, didn't exist.
Jean A wasn't around. Didn't really see much of Zach even, or Ashley, or Sam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam. Oh my God, I didn't see Sam.
Like the supposed power team San Diego was barely shown.
It's true, yeah. But I guess that's going to happen in the beginning of all of these seasons. And so this week, it was kind of all about the main plot lines were Sarah and Alton. And then Trishelle, who was just not so happy about that. And then also Eric and Devin.
Yes.
So
which I have a big huh beside. Huh? Question mark?
Yeah, really.
Where
did the whole thing begin? What was the first kind of scene set up? I think it was with Sarah and Alton.
I wrote down Devin and Eric, but either way, it was, you know, they're trying to build up this showmance between Devin and Eric. I don't know if it's, I feel like it's just created. I don't feel like there's any actual chemistry there.
Really?
I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. It just does not. I think it's just for the show. I don't think it's something like. And I actually thought about that with Alton and Sarah for the last episode, but then this week it seemed like Alton actually does like her. It wasn't just kind of a friend thing.
Well, I actually had that thought today when I was watching it. I thought to myself, and I've never had this thought before with this show, but I wondered if, like, what if all these people, just no one was into anyone? Like, that happens, right?
Yeah.
But they need there has to be some sort of romance. So I wonder if the producers set stuff up.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, oh, Devin and Eric, why don't you guys have a nice dinner over here on the
exactly.
gazebo?
Yeah,
and, you know, we need to do something. And then they have a nice dinner. They talk for half an hour and they get to know each other.
Right.
And even if they're not going to fall in love, maybe, you know, she's actually really nice. And it kind of just starts ideas. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little prodding.
True, yeah, for
because,
sure.
Because, you know, it helps. It's like if you have a producer there who's like I assume most of the producers on site are probably the early 30s, like the similar age to most of these people. And they could be like, hey, Sarah, isn't Alton really cute?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you should talk to Alton. Even if it's just subtle stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if that's going on a lot.
Definitely. And, you know, and we had, like, a great example of it is how this particular episode set up kind of like this other plot line. Sorry, but I'm talking specifically about Sarah and Alton because it became the whole episode is just Trishelle trying to get between that.
Yeah.
And so that was the other kind of romance. Both of those couples I find a bit weird, but I want to say for the Sarah and Alton one, Alton, like his thing, and from watching him on Old Vegas, like I have that particular one on iTunes. I've watched it so many times. He's such a hopeless romantic. He falls for everybody. And his kind of thing where he was saying, I could see us together. I could see this being, you know, the person I want to be. Like, he's just so dramatic about these things. So I think he's getting in a little bit too deep. And I have to say that I understand where Trishelle is coming from because she's seen him act that way before.
Yeah.
But she gets a bit too crazy about it.
So is Trishelle being jealous, or is she being is she actually doing this for Alton's best interest? What do you think?
It's hard to say because I don't think she'd be jealous of the relationship. I don't think she has any feelings for him. I think that she's jealous that somebody is getting attention. It felt weird to me. It felt spiteful. Her rage was a little bit too much. And I have to say that for the first time ever, I found Chet kind of endearing in that scene where he told her that she needed to be quarantined. It was funny.
Oh, Chet.
Like, you have problems and you're just like, and then she got pissed off. But she was acting a little crazy. What do you think? Like, where do you think it came from?
I think it was from a purely strategic basis where she sees Alton. She knows that Brooklyn's on the target list. Like, they have specifically all talked. They said, we're going to, Austin first. They got them. Then Fresh Meat and then Brooklyn. So there's not much buffer now that they've gotten rid of Austin. So if Alton can't be really playing with Brooklyn, because if they do, then,
yeah,
you know, Vegas is – it's funny because if you look at the alliance, it's an alliance of rookies, really. But Vegas is kind of like half rookie, half not rookie. And so if at some point the rookies were like, hey, Vegas is not really playing ball, let's bring in St. Thomas and we still have, you know, four teams, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Trishelle is smart enough to realize that she needs to keep an eye on it and make sure that the rest of the alliance doesn't turn on them, because that can and probably will happen very soon. If, you know, we've talked a lot about how Dustin gets verbally abused,
right,
by, I believe, Frank and Zach, but I can't remember exactly who.
I think definitely I remember it being Zach.
And like that would indicate to me that at some point
they turn on
Vegas, or Vegas turns on them, and that creates the rift.
Right. But I want to ask you, like, above and beyond the kind of strategic thing, do you think there's any truth to Trishelle saying that Sarah is manipulative? Like, does,
yes,
she really have that bone in her body, do you think?
Yes, I think she does.
Okay.
I don't think she's – I don't necessarily – I'm not saying she's doing that in this case, but Sarah's been around a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
She's smart. She knows how to play these challenges. And if she realized that – the thing that really bothered me was when she was going in. She's like, I can't believe they put me in. Like, she was just like, oh, my God. Like, she has this attitude now because she's been around for a few that she doesn't – that she should not have to compete,
yeah,
to make it to the finals. She should just be handed the finals because she's a veteran. And also she has this weird attitude where she's like, well, I'm hooking up with the guy who's in the alliance. I should be safe. And it's almost a Paula. I feel like she is really Paula Jr.
Yeah.
And this is another Paula break where Paula's like, I should never have to do anything because I'm friends with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good for her for actually volunteering to go in this case, but she still had the outrage made me think that, oh no, she's doing this because she knows how the game's played.
Right. And I think maybe that brought up another point. And after this, I guess we'll move on to the first challenge, but Trishelle, like, she, part of her kind of, I don't know, rage against Sarah might be that she's jealous of Sarah having that kind of position in the game, because Trishelle's used to being a veteran. She's one of, like, she is now the oldest.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, veterans on the show. Other than Alton, obviously, because they're on the same season. But I think she kind of feels like she deserves that kind of title, and she sees that Sarah is does have kind of a dominating force in the game as a girl.
Yeah.
And Spell kind of wants to, you know, poke her out of the way. But anyway, so we get to the first challenge. What is it called?
Hook, line, and sinker.
Right. I don't know.
It was a 30-foot... Sorry, this contraption hung 30 feet above the water where they had to... They had these hooks that were attached to these... Hello?
Yep.
Sorry, something scratchy came in there.
Oh, sorry.
You okay?
Yep.
Okay, I'll just cut that out.
What happened?
I don't know, just something like really, something staticky just came in there.
Oh, weird.
It sounded like you were like, your mic just broke or something like that for a second.
I like repositioned the computer, but...
Oh, maybe that. Well, okay. I'll just cut that out.
Sorry.
Sorry, just had a little mic difficulties there. But basically what I was saying is there's this... The challenge was this contraption hung 30 feet above the water, and the teams had to work together with these hooks that had footholds. And they had to all work at the same time because they had to maintain balance and work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they had a 20-minute time limit, and the teams that did finish barely finished before the time limit.
Right.
Which made me think that maybe the time limit should have been longer, but it was not an easy challenge. None of the teams smoked the challenge or dominated the challenge in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So what did you think about this particular challenge?
Everybody seemed very kind of like terrified. I think, well, the first thing that happened during the challenge, is that, Big Easy, you saw him like give up.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't look good. And he was kind of saying, I need a break or
something. Well, they were, yeah, they had gotten about halfway, maybe a little bit more than halfway through. And then Brandon was like, okay, we're going to go to the, cause they all kind of have to, you know, we're going to go to the next rung. And Big Easy said, I need to take a break. Because he was tired, just his cardio had kind of worn out. But shortly after that, he just fell. And, you know, he's like, oh, my, you know, I lost my footing. And it sounded like he kind of just lost his concentration more than anything. Because he was tired and, you know, so that means they get disqualified, which at that point meant all the other teams didn't really have to work as hard. Which may have been why none of the teams dominated. They all kind of were maybe just cautious that they didn't fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, basically all the teams after that were just trying not to get disqualified.
Yeah. But we showed, I wrote down that Brooklyn did well. They were one of the ones that impressed everybody.
Yeah, Brooklyn had to go first because of their not in the alliance. And they did pretty well. New Orleans and St. Thomas didn't actually finish. So they both, you know, they both took it away. They just decided they weren't, you know, they weren't, neither of them did a very good job, but they did enough so that they didn't get disqualified, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And then, so in the end, obviously Vegas ends up winning.
Yeah.
Like from that challenge, what do you think, like who were some of the teams that you thought worked really well together and are probably going to succeed throughout this season?
Definitely
some of them yelling at each other, and this is kind of like the theme of the episode is kind of inter-team fighting. But who do you think could last in terms of like an actual force?
It's a good question. San Diego seems pretty strong still, and so does Cancun, surprisingly. New Orleans and St. Thomas are, I still think they both need to lose a pair. I think Knight and Jemmy would go further if Preston and Mackenzie weren't around. Just like I think Rob and Marie would go further if Trey was jettisoned. But San Diego, Cancun, and Vegas seem to all have a strong foursome. Well, Brooklyn, I guess, you know, it's hard to say. Like, Devin's done better, I guess, than most people expected, but she's still not, you know, she's still not exactly a superstar in the challenge yet. So I would say Brooklyn could probably stand to lose her. I don't know who I would choose between Chet and JD, to be honest. That's kind of a toss-up.
JD, I don't know. JD is like a non-character.
He really is.
And I haven't ever seen him do particularly well. And Chet has proven himself to be actually quite athletic.
Which he tries. He puts in lots of effort. I'll give Chet that. He's just a little bit slighter than you might want. Like, he's not a big guy. He's not super strong.
But yeah, so Vegas ends up winning. And then the whole kind of plotting against Trishelle going on her crusade to kind of vote Sarah in or get Brooklyn in.
I just have a quote related to that challenge I needed to throw out there. Was Jasmine, in her succinct way, sucks to suck, referring to the fresh meat. And I think that was the only time Jasmine was even on the screen this episode, but it was just so good I had to write it down.
I forgot she was in the show until you just said that. So she was definitely also a non-character in this episode. Now, did anything else important happen between the two challenges other than just, it was just kind of all about Trishelle going to everybody and trying to figure it out?
Okay, the only thing I was concerned about with Trishelle was when she went and told the whole alliance what was going on. About how Alton was wavering. I feel like that might have been a bad play. Mm-hmm. I feel like you keep that in-house. You don't tell anyone until the last possible minute. Like, if you got to the point where, you know, you've lost the battle, like, you're going to go against, you're going to vote in New Orleans instead of Brooklyn, then you tell them, you say, I tried to talk to Alton, but I think giving a preemptive warning for something that didn't end up mattering because they outvoted Alton, I think it shows weakness in their alliance, which, you know.
Right.
So that's, I think, so
good.
Yeah.
There was another part, and I thought this is going to happen, where Alton kind of threatened to just vote anybody in and just said, you know, why don't we just destroy all the alliances right now and just stop all this?
Yeah.
And actually, like, vote, you know, just anybody, and I was hoping that would happen.
Well, you know, Alton is a competitor. You know, he doesn't want alliances, but Trishelle knows that you need alliances, so it's kind of a...
It's tough.
Yeah. But, so eventually they do the right thing, I guess. You know, well, you could argue, but Trishelle gets her way, mm-hmm. they put Brooklyn in, and they choose a strategy game between strategy and mental.
Mm-hmm.
So strategy
time. We also see a little bit before the next challenge begins. We also see that, the fresh meat team is kind of falling apart.
They have fallen apart.
Yes. Yeah. And we see kind of the fighting between, Brandon and Camilla, which was just another, like, they're just a mess. That whole team. I mean, they're all hotheads. They're all crazy. Well, not really Big Easy, but
Big Easy's not really crazy. I'll give him that.
Actually, Brandon isn't either. It's just the girl. Well,
yeah.
But I mean, he came up to her and he was trying to kind of support her and tell her genuinely, you know, like, you're good at this game. Like, keep your chin up. And she went off on him.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. And I'm glad he told her to F off because she was just being stupid. When she drinks, as he says, she goes nuts.
Yeah.
And she just gets vicious. And
you know, the one thing I wanted to point out was, and I've heard this before, I've seen this on Twitter, I've seen this on after shows,
mm-hmm.
where people joke about how Camilla's Brazilian accent comes and goes, basically implying it's fake. I did notice a few sentences where she didn't seem to have an accent this episode. I don't know if I was looking for it, but I noticed a few times where I was like, oh, maybe she doesn't really have an accent.
Saw that too in this episode. It was a little bit more, I think. Well, I mean, I have to give it to her. People that have, like, are Quebecois or from the Maritimes, when they get riled up, their accent reverts back to thick, like, it gets thicker.
Yeah.
In certain, you know, cases, it doesn't mean that it's put on.
No, you're right. I mean, we have a Newfoundland friend who
I was just about to say that.
Who, when he gets drunk, his accent reappears.
And that happens and doesn't realize it. But, yeah, but.
Well, of course, yeah, so of course, none of the Fresh Meat team wants to volunteer to go in
mm-hmm.
Because Brandon, I guess, feels like Eric should go in because he got DQ'd, which I agree with in that sense. But then on the other sense, Brandon should have volunteered last week, probably, because it should have rotated, I feel like. But
and then Kara thinks that Camilla should go in because Camilla was the one threatening to go home, which yes. I agree with.
Yeah.
But then Camilla gets her back up and just puts it all back on Cara Maria, which is dumb. It should have been her.
The one thing I found interesting, I was trying to remember, I meant to look it up, was there was one team-based challenge where Brandon kept getting thrown in by Danny, I think, and some other people on his team, and he won like three in a row.
Right.
He kept getting thrown in and kept complaining about it. And I felt like if Brandon had remembered, somebody should have said, like, hey, Brandon, maybe you shouldn't keep trying to throw Big Easy in like they did to you. But, you know, I guess what's good for the goose isn't always good for the gander, you know. But
and then he kind of had a little fit when he got voted or when he was the one that was put in.
Yeah. He gets chosen by Vegas to go in with Cara Maria.
Right, right, because they give Vegas the option, which TJ is like, are you serious?
Yeah.
This keeps happening. Because people just can't make up their mind, and I don't know, just silliness. I think TJ is like, in his mind, is like, what is wrong with this season? It was just a mess.
And then, so Brooklyn decides that they want to win it. I mean, as I said, there's two kind of strategies if you're going in. Do you throw in the two weakest? Do you throw in the two strongest?
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn threw in what they felt were the two strongest, Sarah and Chet. Because they wanted, you know, instead of saying, oh, we're going to get rid of Devin on this one, they, you know, they didn't want to lose half of their team at this point, which is probably a good idea because it's still too early to really know how things are going to break down. They may, you know, we've speculated on how they're going to get rid of teams, how they're going to maybe merge teams. So it's not a good idea to throw a challenge in this sense to try to get rid of teammates.
Mm-hmm. And then also Sarah wanted to kind of prove that she could do it.
And Trishelle kind of called her out saying, Sarah's not going to volunteer. And, of course, Sarah does volunteer, I think, you know, to prove her wrong, which is kind of funny because it's almost like Trishelle got her way by, you know, reverse psychology.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So I like this challenge a lot. I think it kept me really kind of – I was watching the whole time. You know, I wasn't getting bored at all. And I think that – the good thing about it is you could be strategic about it, but you could also just kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, it was as everyone said, it's kind of a mix of all, like endurance, strategic, physical, because of the way the basically you had a 100-foot rope,
mm-hmm.
and you had to tie it around this metal jungle gym. You had a 10-minute limit, and the one thing, it looked like it was too thick.
Yeah.
Too thick to make really good knots.
I don't think it was really about the knotting.
No, it seemed like it was.
It was implied that it was going to be about knots, but it was just kind of about weaving it around.
Yeah.
Like it couldn't really make any crazy knots.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing I would like to see, because, you know, it would have been more like Survivor kind of with the knots, but.
Yeah, but it became very hard because the rope was apparently extremely heavy and they had to climb up to the top of the jungle gym and then back down. And that was they mentioned in the beginning that it was a good idea.
Yeah.
That Sarah and Chet were the really hard ones at the very beginning, because that would be what they'd end up with in the end.
Yeah.
So we saw Sarah and Chet working, like it was like polar opposites. So Sarah and Chet were being like the really great teamwork, you know, just doing it very happily and like enjoying themselves, and then Cara Maria and Brandon are
getting yelled at by Camilla.
Brandon wants to
kill himself. I actually found it kind of hard to tell who was winning until right at the end.
I thought leading up to when they were both kind of like doing the setup for it in the first round, I thought for sure Sarah and Chet were going to win, but then when they switched and started undoing the ropes, it was implied that they were neck and neck at the end.
Which I don't think they were, because if you look at the end, it seems like Brandon and Cara Maria had a lot more work to do, and that it wasn't as close as you know, which is good editing, I guess, because it makes it more dramatic. And they all the alliance, of course, all the alliance is actually rooting for the Fresh Meat team because they want to get rid of Sarah because they see Sarah as a bigger challenge, which is interesting. But Sarah comes back, and Sarah and Chet are all, you know, we're gonna come after you guys, which I think is funny because you can only really come after one team. It's not like you could take control.
And then, well, they both puked, which really showed that it was a challenge.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, an actual endurance and mental challenge. Or it wasn't really strategic, was it? I mean,
there's some strategy, as you said, like going around and it was almost more of an endurance challenge than anything. I feel like it was more of an endurance challenge than the endurance challenge. The endurance challenge itself was more of a strategic challenge.
Totally, yeah. But then, of course, we're set up now for the mental, which will be next week.
Yes, which hopefully is a spelling bee or some sort of geography challenge.
I feel like with this challenge, where it really wasn't what it was implied that it would be, I feel like it's not going to be something like
that. You know what I would love if they did is have a map of the world and say, we are currently in Bodrum, Turkey. Can you please find Turkey on the map?
Find Turkey.
And would any of the four people in this challenge and this, whoever, I don't know who will be in it, obviously, but whoever, I would love to see any of them would be able to point it on the map.
I did. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But who knows how it will go. But it was weird, I mean.
I'm guessing the mental will be a puzzle, but.
Yeah, I agree. But so that ended that, and I found it a very weird choice that the editors decided, usually when, so the challenge will end, and then there'll be some scene at the end that will set up for, like, you know, drama to come. But the end scene was between Big Easy and, what's her face, Devin, having a little, like, date. It was anticlimactic and weird. But he kind of ended it by saying, like, the very end, very, very, very ending of the episode was kind of like, I think this is going to be, I don't know, but he set it up to seem like it's going to get really serious between them.
It'd be interesting if the editing towards Big Easy, if Big Easy somehow pulls off like a win, this would be a really perfect editing. You know, start him off, he's doing horribly in all these challenges. He has to go in, he wins, takes out Wes, you know, wins the next week, takes out Danny. Now he's finding the girl. Like, maybe this is the redemption of Big Easy season.
Big Easy season.
It, you know, so maybe this is what they've realized. Big Easy wins. We're gonna make him the star.
It's true, because if you look back, Big Easy has never had a plot line. He's never had something other than being a contestant.
Yeah.
This is the first time we're seeing him as like a human being having a crush. And maybe that's set up because. Yeah. I don't know. Seeing them talk at that date was weird, and I don't know.
I did like the next on. All I remember is I wrote down Nani drunk.
Yes.
Exclamation point. And I'm very excited about a drunk Nani because, as we remember from Vegas, a drunk Nani is a crazy Nani. And
yes. It looked like she was fighting with Trishelle, but I couldn't really tell.
I think a drunk Nani will be fighting with everybody.
Everyone, yeah. It was a big mashup of fights.
I mean, this is the girl who hooked up with Adam Royer.
Yeah.
The infamous Adam. So, I mean, she's not exactly, you know, the most sane human being.
What else was in that? That was one of the only things that really stood out to me.
That's the only, I was so excited, I just couldn't think anywhere else. I was like, oh, yes, we're finally going to have, because she's been very quiet. She's been around, but nothing too, she hasn't done anything too crazy.
There was a little Big Easy and Devin fight, I think.
Oh, really?
Or some sort of Big Easy yelling at something.
Hmm.
Oh, no, maybe it was that I saw him being very, kind of like, almost like proposing.
But, oh, man. Yeah.
We can definitely look forward to Nani being nuts. I think we've all waited for that for a long time. We've been wanting her to come on these challenges because she'll be scrappy and.
I'd like to see a Nani Jasmine verbal fight.
Oh my god. Or Jemmy.
Oh yeah, Jemmy. We haven't quite gotten drunken Jemmy yet either.
We will.
So we have one more. I was thinking about this. We have one more. We have mental. After that, they've done four episodes. They've done four arena battles. At that point, do they change things up and make it so they get rid of two teams a week, or do they get rid of, you know, like?
They're going to have to, I think.
Like, at some point, they're going to have to start weeding people out. And I think, not next week, but the week after, that will be when the game could possibly take a big change.
Yeah, I agree. Because, really, up until this point, I'm not going to give this season yet a good rating. It's just, nothing is really happening. And I think it's with less people that you have more drama. There's much more kind of things that you can concentrate on and storylines that you can follow week to week. But this is just bouncing everywhere. So I hope and I think for sure that after next week, there's going to be some sort of change in terms of the actual, like, throwing people out. And I think they're going to be bigger chunks of people.
I'm hopeful that next week that whoever loses the challenge isn't Fresh Meat again or Brooklyn, and I hope it ends up being I hope one of Fresh Meat, Brooklyn, or St. Thomas wins, becomes the power couple, just to kind of throw the alliance for a little wrench and have them stab each other in the back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it when the alliances start to crack, because then it makes their lives less comfortable, which is always a good thing for TV.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's not one of the four Alliance teams that wins and gets to determine who goes into the arena.
Yes. I think I look forward to next week, if only because of the mental challenge. But yeah, are you feeling good about this season so far?
I'm about the same boat as you. The first episode was great.
Yeah.
Second episode was meh, and this episode was okay. So that means, on average, it's okay.
Yeah.
So on average, it's a six and a half season, which isn't bad, but, you know, when you've been waiting, this has been a long break between challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're getting three challenges a year, then sure, I can deal with a one okay challenge. But if we're only going to get one challenge season a year, I need to be an 8.5 every week, you know?
Yeah, so I'm going to hope that they pick it up. I think it will get better. I think it can really only get better as more people go.
And there's been so much good next on stuff and preview stuff that...
Yes.
And none, we haven't seen any of it yet, so it's not like...
Yeah.
You know, some seasons where you're like, next on, and then that happens the next episode. You're like, oh, well, there's nothing else coming up, is there? And
but there is a lot to look forward to.
There is.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up again for another week. So thanks again for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. It's at We Are Challenged, and our email address is
wearechallenged@gmail.com.
And please feel free to send us questions or any kind of things that you guys want us to discuss. We're totally willing to talk about it, and if there's anything you think we're missing or anything like that, and we will keep going even if we are broadcasting from our deathbed, like I say. But yeah, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.